Hello, and welcome everybody to another episode of Nerds North, the premier form of video game show hosted by two brothers and a third guy, only live from Simon's main floor, Adam's basement, and Matt, wherever the heck you are right now.
I'm on a main floor.
He's on the main floor! Outstanding. I am your father's son and the goalie host, Simon Pazzo, joined in solidarity, that's it, of my faithful squad mates, Adam Pazzo and Matthew Menu. How are we doing, lads?
We're doing good. We're a little stressed. Been a busy weekend, but it's okay.
My main plan today was to nap. I'm out at my grandparents' cottage, so very unstressed and doing very good.
You're living your best can life. Your job is beach. Yeah. Just beach.
Matt and I are polar opposites today.
Yes, there you go. And I'm somewhere in the middle where I didn't realize I had plans for this evening until suddenly I did. I was like, oh shit, right. That's how that happens, but it's okay. It's good to have plans sometimes. It's been a while since we've recorded. And I'm telling you guys right at the hop, I'm going to be calling this the movie episode because we're in the gaming dead zone, right? Like, it's E3 was canceled. A couple companies did their, like, post E3 news things. I don't think there's anything in particular that's been, like, mind blowing. There's been some Starfield news and it's not necessarily positive, but, you know, that's still a ways out. So it's really kind of it's a good time not to have a gaming show. It's a good time to have a general nerd media show is what I'm saying. Because this is like one of the craziest, in terms of, this is one of the craziest summer movie seasons I've ever seen. I don't know, I know you guys aren't as big as of movie fans, and I mean like, I don't know, I know everyone sits down here and watches movies, but there's a difference between a movie fan and a movie fan, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been following this shit with intensity, and this is wild, because every studio seems to have at least one, if not several, blockbusters coming out, and a lot of them are just flopping. Like an Indiana Jones movie came out last month with Harrison
Wait,
Ford,
that's
who's
out?
80 years old. Yeah, it's been out for like a month.
Out.
And it's doing terribly.
Because it came out
Indiana
and then
Jones.
Everyone proceeded to talk about it just as much as they had talked about Indiana Jones for the last, I don't know, 10 years since the last one came out. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's just not that much movie... Garbage. Well, the last one was hot garbage. This one is, it doesn't seem to be like as good as the original trilogy, so to speak, but it does seem to be better than the previous one. I mean, it's by the guy, James Mangold, who did Logan and Ford vs. Ferrari, I think are two of his most recent movies. Legit great director. And Harrison Ford is, I don't know if you guys have seen his interviews where he's talking about Indiana Jones versus Han Solo. Boy, does he not give a shit about Han Solo, but he fucking loves Indiana Jones. So just to see what his baby is. But that movie flopped. We're here to talk about a movie, that, of course, that didn't flop, which is Spider-Man. But in the mix of things, of course, we had the Flash movie. Remember how hyped people were about the Flash movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That came out, and right now, the tracking is for that movie to pull in less domestically than Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern movie.
Oh, my God.
Make sense of that one, if you can. Meanwhile, Marvel is doing the Andor thing. Remember how a whole bunch of Star Wars shows came out, and other than like Mandalorian season 1.5, they were all kind of terrible.
Yeah.
And then Andor came out, and everyone was like, "Holy shit, this is the good one!" But no one was watching it because we were all the exact same thing is happening with Secret Invasion, where it's like, I mean, obviously there's some effects because it deals with Skrulls, but for the most part, it's just like an actor's showcase movie. Or not movie, TV show, which apparently, and this is all rumored, had a higher budget than Quantumania, and no one is watching it. Have you guys watched a single episode of Secret Invasion?
I did not know it was out.
I only knew it was exactly. out because I saw the first thing about it just yesterday online somewhere, and I was like, oh yeah, when is that coming out? It's like, oh, it's already out. Okay.
It's been out. Yes.
It's been
yeah, exactly.
being out.
It's been out for a while, and it's having some. The last episode had, I mean, every episode actually has had a pretty major shift change. But it's like, how much could this possibly? It's the same thing we've been saying with all the Marvel movies, right? How much could this possibly impact the MCU when you need to be able to go to a movie without having seen it?
Yeah,
I more or less stopped watching anything on Disney Plus. It's just been so long that something has come out that I actually care about watching in there. So I just, unfortunately, I hardly notice. when new things come out on there anymore.
Yeah, I don't think you're in that. I don't think you're in that boat alone. But before we move into the long list of movie topics that we have to cover, has anyone? I think Adam, you've been playing some actual new stuff, right? Like you got to talk about that Dave the Diver. I think you talked about it last time a little bit too.
Yeah, so it's
Dave the Diver seems to be like the big game release that people.
Yeah,
are happy
it was
about.
It was in early access for a long time. It's now come out in the 1.0 release, and I haven't beaten it, but I've gotten like farther than I did when I played it in early access. And like most of it's unchanged, which is like they've polished it up a bit. There's a couple quality of life upgrades, but honestly, like, don't get me wrong, I really like it, but I feel like a lot of the things they've added for the 1.0 release have sort of taken away from the experience. Like,
whoa,
how do I describe this in a way that you'll understand? I can't think of the game. Like, there's a game I'm thinking of, but I'm blanking on what it is. But there was a game where the core loop of it, the main thing you're doing, is intrinsically just a lot of fun. But the game keeps trying to throw stuff at you. We're like, we're going to change it up a bit to liven it up. And I'm like, no, the thing I was doing was the fun thing. All of these distractions are just getting in the way. Like, just let me go out and fish and run the restaurant for at least like 2 weeks and then throw me a curveball again. But in this one, it's like you can't go 3 days without something new and weird happening. And sometimes they're fun. And sometimes they're just annoying. So, like, it is... Like, the recommendation I would give is... In the early game, the plot won't advance until you find a specific item in the water. And my advice would be, if you're enjoying the fishing, just don't find it for a while. Like, just deliberately don't go get it. And just do the fishing and the cooking until you've gotten yourself settled in a rhythm, and then branch out. Because I advanced quickly because I wanted to get to the plot, because I'm like, I've done the first 3 chapters already, I want to see what the new stuff is. And I regret that decision, because you just get swamped with so much stuff that takes away from the, I just want to go out and fish and catch and do the mini game.
Interesting. Well, I do plan on playing the game, so I'll keep that in mind, because I do like a calm thing. I find that it actually happens in a lot of games, particularly, I'm a big City Builder fan. Like, for the Steam Summer Sale, I bought 4 City Builders, all which were varying degrees of pretty good. And I find that a lot of times, in order to keep it quote-unquote interesting, they throw you too much stuff, and just like, hold on, I was enjoying juggling what I was juggling, I didn't need more balls.
Yeah, yes, and that's exactly the Dave the Diver problem, is they keep giving you balls.
There you go. Matt, has anything been giving you balls lately? I saw an opportunity. I had to take it.
Well, I've been in one of my like very low effort gaming modes for the last couple of weeks, which for me tends to be a lot of sports games. So yeah, actually, I've been playing some FIFA. I've been playing some MLB The Show. So, you know,
I'll make it a
three-peat.
We've been playing, the game that Adam and I have been playing the most is actually NHL 23 together, because on EA Play, so I spent the $5 to get it month by month. And at some point, that will no longer be worth it, and I'll have to find a used copy. Otherwise, I'll just be paying for EA Play over and over again. But yeah, we've actually been doing the same thing. So have any of the sports games lived up to the hype for you, or are you just doing it to like mindlessly? I always call sports games like eating chips for me. It's like, if I don't want to think, but I still want to do something, that's when I turn to NHL more often than not. Yeah. Or Super Mega Baseball. 3, not 4. Fuck you, EA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've found how much I play sports games is like very directly correlated to just like my general like mental health and like energy levels. So it's just like, you know, I can almost like reverse engineer it at this point. It's like, I've been playing a lot of FIFA. Am I doing okay?
Yeah. that's so fucking
oh
real.
My god.
Oh my god.
Okay. I know we don't like, if this was the Steve Dangle podcast, that would be the title of the episode. Like, we don't title ours that way, but if we did, that would be the one. I've been playing a lot of FIFA. Am I doing okay?
I know. Well, I already declared that it's going to be called the movie episode, but God, that's the description title. Yeah. That's the only description it's gonna be getting.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing well. That's absolutely perfect. At least, so you know.
That's what we're going for. Yeah, Adam and I finally won the cup with our Jets team the other day. It actually it took a shocking amount of effort to do, and he got to experience the three upgrades to franchise mode, which is the new animation when the cup gets passed around. And Adam, as I've kept saying to you, and I'm hoping that you'll confirm it and agree with me, everything they've added is cool, and none of them individually could have taken more than 5 minutes to program, right?
Yep.
Like, 100%. It's neat that it's there. I don't want to go away, but like, really? Just this?
NHL 2004 still has the best cup celebration. They did it like once and never brought it back. Everything else has paled in comparison since then.
Tragic.
Yeah. Bring back the Tragic. Sepia.
Yeah. Let's move on to things that are also tragic. I mean, I guess the majority of the episode we're probably going to spend talking about Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, even though it's been like a month for a couple of us. Actually, Matt, when did you see Across the Spider-Verse? How recently?
Yeah, probably about a month ago. I forget exactly, but that sounds right.
Yeah, so Adam will be there to refresh us. But there are a couple things I do want to talk about beforehand. So first of all, I'm going to be warning the two of you. Or first of all, I'm going to actually ask for your permission/consent because it's 2023. When we talk about Spider-Man, I would like to spoil the Flash movie for you. So I want to confirm that neither of you have any interest in the story of the Flash movie. Also, if you've seen the Flashpoint movie, you know the
plot. I mean, I was about to say, is it not just Flashpoint? I was under the impression it was just Flashpoint.
Yes, more or less, yeah.
Okay, then I know the plot of the Flash movie.
Yeah, go for it. Matt. I was mainly planning on experiencing the Flash movie about 6 months from now in YouTube video essay format, so feel free.
So, I mean, So my conspiracy theory between the Flash and Spider-Man will be right on point. So before then, I do want to cover a few things. I was searching through the internet. I was on various torrenting websites, only to report them to my local authorities because those people need to be stopped. And then I noticed that this move that when I was looking onto these things, the top torrent of a day was called Silo, and I think I talked about this briefly with Matt.
Yes.
And so I figured, well, I'll give this Silo show a shot. Of course, legally, I paid for a year and a half of Apple TV Plus, even though I only wanted it for a month because, you know, the Apple guy, I don't even know who the CEO of Apple is right now, but that guy needs more money. And then we watched Silo. Keanu and I watched Silo, and it was, I would actually encourage people. It's simultaneously, I think I said this actually last time, I'm becoming repetitive because I said this last time about the Wind Temple in Zelda. I'm confident about that. But Silo simultaneously felt super familiar, but also original. It's like one of those classic dystopian, like there's a new word for everything, right? Like the before times and like the, like one of those things.
They've hit find replace like on a bunch of shit.
Yes, but yeah. I found like and it's weird because I'm going to give this show like a huge recommendation. And even I'm going to actually look into the books. So it's like, I'm going to make fun of it pretty relentlessly for however much I enjoyed it. I think that these were some of the laziest new words I've ever heard. The before times, there was a rebellion, which is called the rebellion. There was the upper, like everyone lives underground in this giant silo. The top of them are called the up top. The basement is called the down deep. I'm like, you couldn't, like George R. R. Martin wouldn't stand for this lazy writing. Him with like, just works on Elden Ring for 5 minutes, the Knight of Black Knives, and like, or the Knight of Broken Glass, or whatever the hell it's called.
That was the Knight of Black Knives.
He's so much better.
Yeah.
I feel like there was also a Broken Glass one, right?
I'm pretty sure the Knight of Broken Glass is a real life thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real life thing that he probably took the Knight of Black Knives from?
Is that the Irish one?
No, I'm pretty sure that was like just prior to World War II Germany was the Knight of Broken Glass.
Oh, I'm looking
there. There you go. Okay, well. So either way, even in real life, we're being more creative with our names than they were in that show. But it's a good show. It has some big name actors, that a couple big name actors like right out of the gate that don't necessarily stick around for a long time. But the show seems to be held and produced by Rebecca Ferguson. So my personal guess is she just read the book and then was like, "This is great. Let's make it into a show." So she kind of is the lead actor on it, and it's good. It's like I got a solid mystery for once. The creator actually really likes the show, which is like a pleasant thing. I did, now that I've seen the first season, I spoiled some things for myself, and they're they're sort of tastefully going in a slightly different direction than the show, so it's keeping book readers or in the books, it's keeping book readers on their toes. But it has it does a good job of like, it's a well-built TV show. Every action, there's like some intrigue, there's some action, or there every episode there's some intrigue, there's some action. It always leaves in a cliffhanger, you always want more. They like it sort of drips feeds you the mystery of the show throughout, and then it ended on a simultaneously satisfying, like, it answered the question. It's one of the things where it really, I think, balanced the razor blade of satisfying the questions from the first season while also being like, wait, what the fuck? And that makes us excited for season two. So if someone has Apple TV Plus and you had it for Ted Lasso and your subscription is auto-renewing and you haven't noticed, Matt, I'm looking at you. I would actually highly recommend Silo. It's a good thing to, like, sit down maybe with your partner and just be like, ah, an episode a week of the mystery show that we're watching or something.
Yeah, I think it's been added to our list because, yes, we currently have 3 months of Apple TV because of Ted Lasso. And actually, we're going to get another one after that because my fiance just bought an iPad and that comes with 3 free months. So, you know, we'll need things to watch on it. But yeah, we were watching the trailers. It actually looks really good.
Do they stack?
No, but she has up to like a certain amount of time to activate it. So it might not be on the same account, but one of us will have Apple TV Plus for the next, you know, 5 or 6 months. Apple TV actually has a decent amount of like big sci-fi on there. And like, I've been pretty critical of their service, if not on here, then at least in private for sure. But like, you know, we're looking at some other things like Foundations based on an Isaac Asimov book. Looks pretty cool. They actually, you know, we were just browsing through it and it's like, there's some, I mean, who knows the actual quality, but at least like attempts at big sci-fi on here. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I feel like I've gotten to the point where I've just finished a lot of the streaming services. Like Amazon Prime in particular, we have it because you want Prime for the Prime of it, and it just comes with Prime Video. But every time I go on there, I'm like literally I said this to Kiana last night, I'm like, have they added anything new? Like, I feel like it's just the same no-name, like generic brand versions of TV shows and movies. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure someone out there is watching this, but like, it has absolutely no appeal to me whatsoever. And it just seems, also their interface is the worst. I don't know if anyone's,
oh god, it's awful. It's so bad.
Well, and like, I'm already paying for Prime. I'm not gonna pay you again to watch half of your stuff.
Yeah mixing stuff that you have to rent and buy in with the regular TV shows is
so scummy.
Such a dick move. Yeah, absolutely awful.
I've gotten like people together, like family movie night, hey, we checked Lord of the Rings is on Amazon Prime or whatever it is, like, we have it, everyone's sitting down to do it, and then we go click on the thing and it's like $12.99. I was like, fuck you. Now we're gonna go and scramble and find the DVD because like the grandparents are here and we've decided this is what we're watching, but like, ugh, I hate it so much.
Yeah,
someone queue up Gabe Newell's quote about how people don't pirate because they're evil, they pirate because they're lazy, so you have to make a service that's better than the piracy.
Yeah.
Someone get that up there. Not that I would do it, again, to be clear. If ever I was on a site, it was to report it to my MP, to other people. That's mm-hmm. I want that. I want that on the record, and then off the record, you know, maybe we say something different. But on the record, of course, that's what I'll say. Speaking of actually good TV shows, I don't know if you guys, I mean, I know I'm the biggest Superman fan of the three of us. I'm pretty confident in saying that. But man, Superman fans have been eating good lately. So Superman and Lois is, I think it just finished. It's a fourth and final, I believe, season. There might be a fifth, but I haven't finished the fourth one. And I'm not totally sure. And that show is, it's been clicking along. It's like the last of the CW shows. It hasn't died, right? Because The Flash
mm-hmm.
went down earlier this year or last year.
Yeah, but The and Flash got like eight seasons or something. They had loads of time.
It did, yeah. So I think this is a case where they're deciding to go on their own terms, which is smart. But at the same, so that show's quite satisfying and has been for a while. At the same time, a new like kids Superman show called My Adventures with Superman debuted. It's on, weirdly enough, Adult Swim, so I don't know how people are expected to see it. Supposedly, I haven't been able to find it. Supposedly, the first episode is on YouTube. But I did track down the first episode. I went to America and I bought an Adult Swim subscription, of course, to watch the first two episodes of My Adventures with Superman. And it's like a, you can find it online. Superman has a Sailor Moon style suit entrance. Like when he gets his suit for the first time, It's like a Sailor Moon style thing where he kind of goes into the ether. It just appears over him. I was like, wait, what the fuck?
Why not?
But it's just like, it's so weird to say, but there really isn't a good, I mean, even the Batman, I feel like there hasn't been a good like kids Batman show in a while, right? Like the Batman, I remember that show kind of growing up when we, and it was kind of like the villains were kind of cartoony, and that was like, okay. And there are always a few good Spider-Man cartoons, but like there isn't really like a good children's Superman cartoon. And this is it. It's clearly made for kids, but I think it's quite satisfying as an adult. What's his name? Jack Ryan, I think is his name. Jack Ryan? Meg Ryan's kid. Oh. Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid. No.
Oh, Jack Quaid.
Jack Quaid. Jack Quaid.
Yeah, Jack Quaid.
I had...
Jack Ryan is
Jack
a... Ryan's
I was like, I'm pretty sure Jack Ryan is a character in another show.
Yeah.
I mean, I had his mom's last
He's
name.
He's got an action... He has a generic action show.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a generic action show. Jack Quaid, who's on The Boys, fighting evil Superman, is playing good Superman here, and I think he does a great job. All the other actors do a great job, too. Two episodes in. Highly enjoyable. It was just like one of those movies you just watch the smile on your face, so props to them for that. Before I keep blasting through all the things, because I at some point I'm going to hop on a Barbenheimer soapbox, and you guys just have to experience that. So this will be a good time for anyone else to jump in with something they've watched recently.
I have watched the new trailer for Dune 2 far too many times.
Oh.
But it actually incredible. One of the best trailers I've seen in a while. But yeah, that's about
it. Oh yeah, because of the writer's strike, they had to put out all the trailers like now, right? Because they wanted some buzz. Like that's why the Dune trailer
must be.
The,
they came out weirdly close together.
Yeah. All these trailers came out because, I mean, you have this weird case of like the Haunted Mansion movie, which I'll watch inevitably when it comes on DVD or on Disney Plus, but I have no hopes for that movie. Did you see that they sent mascots to the red carpet?
I did not.
No, did for not.
Because
Blue
of
Beetle?
The No, for
the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, Haunted Mansion, sorry.
So because I'll give you guys some context and also the people out there, the Writers Guild of America has been on strike for a while now.
Yes.
Asking for, it sounds like the main thing is residuals because they used to get residuals if there was a rerun of a TV show on a channel, right? And now they don't get residuals from streaming. So like they need to adapt the streaming thing. Same thing for actors, right? So the superstars that are being hit, it's the small actors and they need to make a certain amount of money even to qualify for health insurance. And without getting residuals from whatever they're doing, they're not doing it, etc. But the last time that the two of them went on strike, I think is like the 1960s, pretty sure, because the head of the writers or the Actors Guild of America was, I shit you not, Ronald Reagan. The last
yes,
time the two
right.
of them were on strike at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Stunning. So as someone who's been on strike recently, I say, fuck you, Bob Iger, with their, these guys are have unreasonable demands as you like pay yourself in the billions of dollars, you prick. So, yeah, stay as long as you can. And, of course, I'm sure you guys heard, there was that report that someone said, we're going to hold out until they start losing their houses.
I did not hear that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's what apparently one studio executive said. I mean, it hasn't come out who, but, yeah, it's just, it's great. And it's also, like, nice to see which actors appear and are speaking out in favor of the strike. Because it's like, like, you don't have to do that, and it's probably bad for your career, at least to some extent, but it's nice to see. Like, I saw Ron Perlman made a big statement, Matt Damon, not surprising, because Matt Damon's super political. John Cusack, though, had a great Twitter rant about some of it. So, props to the people who are sticking it up.
Yeah, I saw, I think it was a TikTok from Kimiko Glenn, who was on Orange is the New Black. So, like, quite a successful show, and it was just, like, going through a breakdown of one of her... like royalties checks from the show for like it was listed like a couple hundred episodes for a grand total of like a check for $27 and like
oh my god
half of the items on the list were straight up $0.00. I'm sure they're not all like right. that, but it's like yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I mean the one thing that we heard even before this was that like apparently basically everybody on Squid Game made no money. That was a big thing because they didn't know at the time that they bought it that it was going to be uber successful. And then once it was uber successful, Netflix was like, wow, that's great. But you signed a contract that says you don't get any cut from any of this. So things need to change and productions are going to shut down. And the big thing that's being shut down right now is Deadpool 3, which is filming. And they've released some screenshots where we could see Hugh Jackman and that I wish I didn't see because that similar to Matt with Spider-Man No Way Home. I just wish I had showed up at the theater, but there's no way to avoid that.
Yeah, I saw
that
too.
One.
Wish it could have been a surprise.
Dang it. Anyway, oh well. They're going to have to put that on hold for now. So, things that aren't on hold. This is the time. You guys have fallen into my trap.
Oh no.
Barbenheimer. Look, no one else. I've talked to a lot of other people about Barbenheimer. No one else is as excited about Barbenheimer as me. But I've been telling people, and by people I mostly mean Kiana or anyone within 10 feet of me at any one time, about the Barbenheimer scenario. That we're into a situation where this is a once-in-a-lifetime, I truly believe that, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So you have two movies. I know you guys know all of this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Oppenheimer, a movie about the atomic bomb. What is an atomic bomb if not a giant penis? This is a comparison that's been made dozens, if not hundreds of times, that men like weapons because they're just an extension of your dick, right? Spears, swords, atomic weapons. How many times? Like, who was it? Was it Bezos that his rocket literally looked
like a
dick,
penis.
Like it belonged in Austin Powers?
Yep.
Yeah. So you have this movie about this guy who created this ultimate weapon that changed the it. Like it, I mean, it took us into a new generation of war where we could now wage war on a global scale because you can't just shoot a gun at a tree and then destroy the earth, right?
Yeah.
Now we're into a new world. It's got sex. It's got drugs, probably. It's going to be partly in black and white. It's by Christopher Nolan, the fucking ultimate guy's guy director. This is the guy who does everything in take. He's already said that there's no CGI in it. They created the nuclear blasts with, like, gasoline and TNT and stuff like that. It's just going to be fucking insane. You know, black tie. Everyone's in suits. This is the ultimate guy's guy movie coming out at the same day as Barbie, which is not just a girl's girl movie for the sake of it. It's by Greta Gerwig, who's an Academy Award nominated writer director. She's an auteur. She's amazing. Little Women, Lady Bird, other ones that I'm forgetting right now. She's incredible. She's got Margot Robbie, who's like a fucking superstar herself. Ryan Gosling is in this. They got also Simu Liu. So they got both Canadian hot guys in this. They got Michael Cera. The cast looks amazing. I have no idea what this movie's about. This seems like it's going to be a complete trip, this movie. So you have the ultimate guys movie, the ultimate girls movie, coming out on the same day. There's only one thing to do if you're a true cinephile like myself, and that is go to them both on the same day. You have a unique opportunity to experience the two wildly different films on the same day, and that is the plan. And not only that, we're going to dress up for them. We went shopping yesterday. We got me some Kenergy gear. I'm pretty sure I sent to the group chat, so Matt, you could have seen it. So I have.
I did. It looked
bright
fantastic.
Baby blue. Thank you. We have bright baby blue shorts. We have a pink shirt. it's gonna be fantastic for Oppenheimer. I'm gonna wear a tie to Oppenheimer. so it's gonna be full. That's the plan. Wake up, black coffee, dry toast. Oppenheimer in the suit. Read the newspaper. Process what you just saw. Go out for dinner, cocktails, drinks. Then you dress up, then you go to Barbie, the ultimate Barbenheimer experience. It's a once in, I was trying to, because again, poor Kiana is being dragged along with me. I've been trying to explain to her that this is truly a once in a lifetime experience. Except, is it? So here's just a fun thing for you. It's not trivia, but there was a Twitter thread online of people who tried to find other similar things to Barbenheimer. And here are the five best options. I think there's four decent ones and one great one.
Okay.
So I'll do the great one last. On May 2nd, 2003, two movies came out. The Lizzie McGuire movie and X-Men 2.
Okay, that's not bad.
Not bad. January 18th, 2008, 27 Dresses and Cloverfield.
All right.
Again, not bad.
Yeah.
March 17th, 2006, She's the Man and V for Vendetta.
Oh, that one's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, getting there.
Yeah, I think this is the best movie one of the bunch. July 18th, 2008, Mamma Mia and The Dark Knight.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
a good one.
Good. Yeah,
that's the closest that we've come.
I will say, I think of those, Barbenheimer probably has the potential to be the best one of those because, like, There was a good chunk of like good movies in that list, but I think like Oppenheimer and the Barbie movie have, I think, the potential to be maybe not the best movies on those lists, but like they will both come very close to the top of that list, I think. And like they're also more starkly opposed than any of those. It's
exactly.
Like the extreme of that list.
Yeah, like this is, and that's why I tried to describe in that little speech that I made. But it's more than just a movie that appeals to guys and a movie that appeals to girls, which is more or less what The Dark Knight is. Although I'll be honest with you, I like Mamma Mia and I like The Dark Knight, and I'm fully expected to. But it's the vibes of these two, just watching the trailers and then like the color that smacks you in the face of the Barbie movie, and then parts of Oppenheimer are literally in black and white.
Yeah. Washed out.
You can't make this stuff up.
Versus pastel pink. Yeah, it's.
However, that is not the perfect one. The one that could rival Oppenheimer, Barbenheimer, doesn't come in movie form. It comes in video game form. Now they didn't write down the day, so I don't know if they came out on the exact same day. But I can tell you that they came out, I believe, in 2021 or 2020.
Or
Adam,
I think
do you
know what
this?
It is. Yeah.
Guess.
It's Doom and Animal Crossing or Harvest Moon?
Doom Eternal and Animal Crossing,
yes. Yeah. I remember hearing about this because Yahtzee made a joke about it in his Doom Eternal review. That they came out on the same day and people were finding that hilarious. And apparently there were a bunch of memes of the Doom Marine doing like Animal Crossing tasks, which I didn't see but sounds hilarious.
I mean, that's exactly what they're doing with Barbenheimer, right? People are making like these cross promotional posters, putting them. I mean, and that's good, but in that case, it would have just been if you have, again, traditionally, air quotes. I'm sure there are plenty of girls who played Doom and plenty of guys who played. You know, all this has those quotes around it, but you don't finish a game in a day. To finish Oppenheimer and process it and then go into Barbie. It's going to be a trip. Or you could do the reverse. That's how I'm choosing to do it. But if you want to have a light day in Barbie and then on a somber note in Oppenheimer, go for it. But the fact that you can finish a movie, process it, and then go into the next movie, that's the real unique thing. Although Doom Eternal and Animal Crossing is like chef's kiss.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty
perfect
great.
That happened.
I feel, I was going to ask which order you're doing it, but yeah, I feel like Oppenheimer then Barbie is the like optimal order for that.
Yes. And you know who agrees with you? Tom Cruise, who's also given a talk on this and how, but that's what he plans to do. And he insists that people need. I mean, I saw a recent comment on Twitter that Tom Cruise is essentially an alien who came to Earth and then forgot his mission because he got obsessed with making movies. And I'm like, that's like absolutely perfectly accurate. Because the man is obviously batshit insane, and yet. So fucking passionate about movies that it's nuts. Have you seen those interviews where he claims that he watches a movie a day?
I believe him.
That's Tom fucking Cruise.
You would run out of good things after not doing that for like, I mean, you'd get like a few years for sure, but like that would become old at a certain point, I would have to imagine.
That's how much he just fucking loves movies and movies.
No
and,
one
like,
said
you could
it
also
had to be a
things.
Different movie every day.
Or a good movie.
True.
Yeah,
true.
Like those are two things that it has to, or that, yeah, I'm sure he rewatches the occasional movie.
He just finds 365 he likes and then watches the same ones every year.
It's actually just him running through the Mission Impossible movies, but he just frames it as a movie.
I mean, okay, so thank you for continuing my segue. So the other thing that came out recently is Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. I don't know what experience you guys have with the Mission Impossible films.
I've seen, I think, Fallout, and I think that's it.
I have not seen a single one.
See, I was in the same boat. I never particularly had a good. Like, it seemed like you know, budget James Bond, and I'm not that big of a James Bond guy either. It seemed like a little sillier because they always have the mask thing, and it's like a little convoluted or whatever. But then, probably similar to what happened with you, Adam, in 2018, Fallout came out, and it featured Henry Cavill. First of all, that's the movie that he had to have the mustache in that fucked up the Justice League
movie.
Oh,
that's right, yeah.
So you already kind of had to see it, to see that mustache, and fuck what a mustache it is. But also, people were just like, this is legitimately one of the best action movies that has come out in this millennium. It's like right up there with Mad Max Fury Road. It's like, okay, I'll go see it. And it is legitimately great. I think Mad Max is still better. But it's a really, really, really good movie.
You get to
and
see Henry Cavill cock his arms like a gun. It's great.
Yes.
Haven't even seen the movie. I know that part.
Everyone knows that part because it's great. But it's a great movie. I don't think you need to see the previous movies to see it. And then I never watched another Mission Impossible movie. And then this new one was coming out. And there was a fair amount of hype around it. So I decided I was going to try and watch all the Mission Impossible movies in preparation for it. I got through the first four. And then this new one that came out is 8, I believe. So I still had room to go, but I had to go see the movie. And it was just really good. I sat in the back of the theater so I could sit alone and occasionally text Kian. And I remember texting her, like, this movie got shot out of a cannon the way it fucking starts. It's just crazy. And it keeps it up the entire time. It's, like, the action is great. The story is actually pretty good. But there's sometimes when you're watching a movie and you're just like, of course they did. It's a movie. Of course they did that. Like, some things are just, like, movie things.
Yeah, you got
tropes.
And
this is just, it's just a movie. Yeah. So if you have any budget after you're done watching Barbenheimer and whatever, then Mission Impossible is a legitimately great movie. But the problem is it's probably going to be cannibalized by this insane summer we're having.
Yeah. Well, I've been looking through. Like, it was the highest grossing movie this week. So, you know, it's at least got that.
It's got 1 week going for it.
Yeah. And also, don't downplay. This is Mission Impossible 8, part one.
Part one. But here's the thing. Okay, so we're gonna move directly from this into Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I think Mission Impossible, I just straight up enjoyed it more than Spider-Man. And I enjoyed Spider-Man. Ooh. I thought it was a really good movie. But I think Spider-Man suffered a little. And I knew Spider-Man was a part one because I knew there was a part two coming off. But I think that Mission Impossible was a better version of a part one because it kind of did what I just complimented Silo for doing earlier. All the characters had character arcs and stuff. I felt like everything that happened in this movie was more or less resolved, and it was like, but there's still that thing that we have to deal with. It felt like a more complete movie. Whereas Across the Spider-Verse, by the end of it at least, and this is where we'll start the discussion, I was like, that was great, but like, I feel like the movie could have ended like 25 minutes before it ended because it had all those cliffhangers, right? Okay, so spoilers for Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh,
but it was
boy.
Like, okay, so Miles went to the wrong place. Okay, now he's being captured with this guy. Okay, now he's doing this. Okay, now we're doing this. I feel like that movie was kind of bloated, and it didn't feel, as opposed to, like, if I compare it to Mission Impossible, which I just did, or even Infinity War, to me, Across the Spider-Verse didn't feel like as complete a movie as either of those other two, and that's where it lost some points for me. Even though, like, stylistically and in a lot of other ways, a remarkable film. But I didn't think that it stuck the part one landing as well as the other ones. It felt incomplete. But Adam, maybe we should go to you first because it's freshest in your brain, because you talking about it will refresh the two of us.
That is true. It will. I mean, you have slightly undercut me because that's largely what I was going to say.
Oh, whoops.
But it's fine. I wrote down my notes on...
I mean, Matt, you were... Hold on. While you say that, because Matt, you mentioned the Dune. I think Dune 1... Also, it said part one at the beginning, right?
Yes.
And I think that's a big thing, and that it framed your expectations. I think that also was a better part one. It felt complete. And then I was like, Okay, I know exactly where this is going next, and yet I feel fulfilled with what I saw.
Yeah, I think it had like a natural ending point, and the ending point was taking off into the next movie, but it still felt like, all right, I know this is only part of the story. And it's like, yes, I can see the shift that's happening right here. This is a good stepping off point for the next one. I kind of didn't feel like it was a cool cliffhanger and twist at the end of Across the Spider-Verse, but I didn't feel like it really led into the next one all that much.
Yeah.
Okay. Shit, are we all on the same page on this? Because like, people love this movie online.
Well,
I still had a blast. Like, I really liked it, but I have some issues.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Adam, take away.
Okay. So I will say up front that exactly what you said, despite all of the very negative things I'm about to say about it, it was a very good movie. It was paced fine for the most part. It was well acted. It was funny. It was clever. I like most of the characters that were introduced to. It was very well put together. But a lot of the creative decisions that they made in regards to the plot are ones I disagree with. And the first one, the biggest one, which we were already talking about, is the ending. If you want to have a cliffhanger ending, that's fine, but it doesn't belong where you put it. It belongs 20 minutes earlier when he realizes he's in the wrong place.
Agreed, yeah.
That's where that goes. If you want to do that, that's where that goes. The second thing is the art direction, they have gone too far. Like, they want to be stylized and different for the different universes, fine, but that, there were points where that was painful to watch.
Like, oh, really? Okay, I didn't get that at all. Which parts did you like? Are you thinking of, like, the Gwen conversation scene? Because that's probably the most,
The one that, egregious, like, every time the Spider-Punk was on the screen, I'm like, that is, he is visually difficult to look at. Like, it's just, it's so busy and annoying. So I didn't like that at all. The other thing was, like, most of the Spider-Men and women and et cetera were fine.
Spider-people,
thank you.
One of them was a horse, for God's
sake.
Yeah,
that's true.
You can't just say.
And
that's
a
good point. Yeah, and the T-Rex, that's a good point. Yeah. I could have done without Spider-Dad being a thing. Like, I know there's the moment where that sort of pays off where he says the whole reason he has a daughter is because he wanted her to be like Miles. And I'm like, okay, but the gag with her was old 2 minutes into this, like, into your introduction. And also, you put Mary Jane on the screen and she doesn't call him Tiger. Like, you have one job. That's all she's supposed to do. And then my other major complaint is how they handled Spot. Like, as a concept,
really?
Well, let me get through it. In the first part,
okay.
Loved it. Like, I'm like, okay, Spider-Man causes accident. Like, that's happened before, that's sure. And, like, they've turned what is kind of a bit villain into a major player by having, like, I'm on board with this. And then they go to Spider Sanctum, whatever it's called, and you just sort of forget about him for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he said, like, we hear him say on screen, see you at home. And then he's gone. And the implication is he went home. And then for 45 minutes of the movie, nobody seems to care. I'm like, it's not just that he's still out there. We know where he went. He said where he was going. And like the rest of it. And the other thing is, I agree with what you said earlier, that there are certain things about movies that you're like, this is just what movies do. But there are some tropes that as I've gotten older and savvier, I find more and more annoying. And one of them is that, like, the rule of ninjas. One ninja is an unstoppable killing machine. 100 ninjas are useless. And I'm like, Miles has been doing this for a year and a half. You're telling me he outwitted, 200 other versions of him? Like, Spider-Man is the smart one. He's the smart, clever superhero. Like, there are other smart superheroes, but not in that sort of think on your feet kind of way. Like, I'm sorry. I don't believe you. Like, that Miles pulled that off. And, like, the twist of it with the betrayal, I'm like, okay, whatever, fine. Like, that sort of made sense. In that, like, we knew vaguely that the spider didn't belong, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. But the other thing that I think the movie really fails hard at is, now again, this is definitely your mileage may vary, but for me, when you're setting up that, like, because I joined this thing and then it ended up not being what I thought it was, and now I'm turning against it. That's a trope that's been done before, and it's fine. It's a perfectly good storytelling technique. But the key to doing it is that you have to make me believe that the guy who's being the rebel is doing the right thing. You did not do that.
Yeah.
You did not do that at all. Like, there is, like, the only thing we get is him going, I can do both. And I'm like, look, you are surrounded by people who say I can do both. These are all you. Everybody here is Spider-Man. Everybody wants to do both. This is not you rebelling against the system. This is everyone who's been where you are. So the only possible resolution to this in part two that will make any sort of sense is if Miles decides he's wrong. And then it's like, okay,
yeah,
you just had to learn this the really hard way, you dumb boy.
Yeah, see... You put a little stank on boy there, Adam. Like, seems like Files really personally offended you. But we're in spoilers for the Flash time, and I also want to get Matt's opinion on this as well, of course. Is that I didn't feel perhaps that strongly about it, but I was, and this is like, I agree with you, and it's something that bothers me in movies a lot, where it's always like, well, we need to do this. Like, it's like, I think we've talked about, I forget the movie, but I remember the game, and the game is Fable 3. And Fable 3 does the same thing, right? So spoilers for Fable 3, which came out in like 2008 or whatever. No one's played that, even though the Fable remaster or the Fable reboot is coming out and people are mad because the character model looks weird. We'll get over it. Anyway, so Fable 3 does exactly this, where it's just like you have an evil villain or you have someone who's doing evil and they claim it's for the sake of good. And then you overthrow them and he's like, okay, but now it's your problem.
Yeah.
And movies do that an awful lot where it's just like they get to have their cake and eat it too. But Fable at least was smart enough to say. Now, the game wasn't particularly well built, so you could indeed have your cake and eat it too if you became a real estate tycoon. But
yeah,
that's a sentence that will only make sense to a fraction of really just me and Adam, I think, actually. that will make sense too. But it's true. But it's such a good point where it's just like, okay, so if you give us this problem, then like what do – like what – okay, so if we're going to overthrow the villain, like what is your solution to the problem? Right? And I agree with you too. I couldn't, and I'm really hoping, because these are great writers and great directors, and it's produced by amazingly talented people, and I'm really hoping that they come up with a satisfying conclusion. But I'm so worried, because just like you, Adam, I, as it's constructed right now, don't see a good way out, because they can't cheapen what Spider-Man 2099 and all the other Spider people have gone through. They can't cheapen and just be like, actually, we were wrong about the whole fate of the universe is like reside in the, we were wrong about the canon event thing. It's not actually that important, because this movie shows you, I think, that is really quite important, right? So how are they going to do that in the Flash movie? Okay, so the Flash, by the way, for what it's worth, I actually quite enjoyed the Flash movie. For a movie that got delayed a bunch, it was super not polished, which was a bit bizarre, but I thought Ezra Miller, who all indications are in real life is a raging thunder cunt, and should not have been the Flash, and they should have recast him and remade the movie if they had to. Whatever. Fine. But in the movie, it's good. Just like in Flashpoint, they run into Batman, in this case played by Michael Keaton, which is in the trailer, so that part is not the spoiler. And then I thought it was a bit of a mistake that Batman, in this case, is Bruce Wayne. So it is indeed like he's basically the same character that he played 30 years ago. I thought it would have been smarter to do what they did in the comics and the cartoon, where they have him be Thomas Wayne, but they don't do that. So, oh, but anyway,
that's a shame.
Yeah. So, and then maybe because it's the only thing they could afford or whatever. But the war in this is not in the comics. There's a war between the Atlanteans and the Amazonians.
Yeah.
And I think there's an iconic moment in the cartoon. Probably in the comic too, where Mira gets beheaded. And I heard a joke online. It was like they didn't want to do that in real life because if Amber Heard's head got put on a spike, people might cheer, which is the wrong reaction. But it's true. So instead of that, it's Zod coming back. That's the problem. So in a similar thing, they have to go and find Superman, except in this case, you may have seen in the trailers, they spoil it. It's not Superman, it's Supergirl. I forget who plays her. Does a great job. The super person does exactly what you want the super person to do. Here's the problem. Supergirl is not a match for Zod, and Batman is not a match for Zod's people. So as they try to correct the wrongs, right, as they try to do exactly what Spider-Man's talking about, they keep dying. So the Flash has to keep going back in time. He basically is doing what I'm doing when I'm playing Radiant Dawn with my save state. I'm like, nope, that didn't happen. Let me just go back in time to fix it.
He sands of timing it?
He sands of times it, yes. Except every time he goes back, he fucks up the timeline a little bit more. So the main sequence of the film, like the climax of the movie, so I'm like literally legitimately spoiling it for you, is that he realizes, I can't do this. If I keep going back, it's just going to keep breaking further and further. I'm going to destabilize it. Everything is going wrong. What I need to do, and the reason he goes back, if you guys recall from the comics, is he's trying to save his mom's life.
Save his
life,
mom, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That happens in the show, too. The TV show.
Yes. So he tries to save his mom and also get his dad
out of prison,
not to be incriminated. Yes, for the murder. So he realizes I can't do that. I like for, they don't say canon event, but that's what the movie's about, is that Flash's mom dying is a canon event, and it will destabilize the timeline if it doesn't happen, and so Flash comes to the conclusion that he has to let his mom die, and that's how the movie ends. And there's a couple things afterward that I mercifully don't have to spoil, so if you do see it, you will be shocked. But that's the movie, that's the conclusion that movie came to, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. So basically, Flash sided with Spider-Man 2099, which also is what makes sense to me. I too struggle to see how they can reconcile the two things. And Matt, I'm going to hop off my soapbox for you to tell us how they're going to solve this problem. No, just tell us what you thought about Spider-Man.
I don't know. Doctor Who's been hand-waving away the same problem for like 50 years. So, I don't know that I love the canon event thing. I mean, yeah, as I said, Doctor Who has done that many times. Like, the main example of that is, like, Mount Vesuvius destroying Pompeii is a canon event. This must happen. Meanwhile, every, like, next week there's going to be a much larger, like, galaxy-wide apocalypse. That's fine. That doesn't matter. But we got to save this one town. This one town needs to be destroyed. It must happen. I don't really like that kind of stuff. Like, in The Flash, if there's a reason where you're like, man, I keep, like, I'm trying to do this, but I just can't, so I have to let it happen, that's fine. I don't love the, like, it has to happen. Why? Because it does. It's like, well, okay.
Yeah, so and, that's how the world is. Okay.
Yeah, and I think if in the part two, the answer is you actually don't need the canon event and Miles is right, then it's like, well, I really wish... It's like, hey, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man is canon in this universe. You can just go and unkill Uncle Ben, right? And make all that better? No? All right. Like, it just, I find it devalues, like, everything else that exists in the world.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what they're going to do with that.
And, like okay. It's not like it's a theory either, right? Like, in universe, we saw canon event doesn't happen, world ends. Like, we witnessed that happening.
Yeah.
It's not, they're not being paranoid. This has happened.
Yeah, they're so clear about the stakes.
Yeah.
They're so clear about them. And they hammer it home repeatedly. And you get to see it. Because other than that, I mean, we have a problem with the movie philosophically. But other than that, the movie is a rockin' good time. All the new Spider-Man. I mean, I didn't have as big of a problem with Spider-Punk as you did, Adam. I thought the Pavilto Parker, is that the guy named? I'm blanking on it.
It's been a while. The Indian guy? Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, the
he's
Indian great. Spider-Man. He's fantastic, yeah, and Spider-Gwen coming back is great. I like the movie opens with a drum solo, and by the way, again, I'll hop on an ever so brief soapbox. Have you guys ever been to D-Box? I think I already talked to maybe one or both of you about this, but
yeah, I did it once.
And did you enjoy it, Matt?
Not even a little bit.
Yes, exactly. So when D-Box first came out, I remember the first ticket I ever bought for D-Box was The Force Awakens. Because I figured, okay, I don't want to pay $25.
Hey, I did The Last Jedi.
There you go. Same idea. I don't want to pay $25 for a movie. Jokes on me, in 2023, a movie ticket is $20 anyway, but whatever. But this is like the time. You're in Star Wars. You're in space battles. It makes sense. Terrible. It was like just a little bit moving side to side. Really not enjoyable. But as the last time we recorded just prior to me going on a road trip with Kiana, where I announced that we had Spider-Man movie tickets. And that was actually quite clever. I put it on in the car and then had me in the car announce it. I don't know. She didn't think it was as cool as I did, but I thought it was really cool. So we went to D-Box, and it was fucking mind-blowing. It was unbelievably good. It was like Disney World roller coaster levels of good. It opens up with that drum solo. You feel the drum solo the entire time. You, like, the web swinging felt amazing. All the fights felt incredible. It was, I'm not joking, it was as good as any... I mean, obviously you weren't moving, but like all the roller coaster rides that simulate moving, at least to some extent, it was as good as that. Whoever did the D-Box program for that, hands down, the best D-Box experience I've ever had. They earned their paycheck. It was wonderful.
Well, okay.
And that helped because the movie was, stylistically, it's very different. Adam, as you said, some of the visual choices are crazy, but that, I mean, to me, the movie just like hitting you over and over again with different stylistic choices, and some of them maybe bounce off you, and then like... I don't know, halfway through, two-thirds through, then you have that reconciling moment between Gwen and her dad, And how can you not be on board with that, with the entire color palette of the room changing as they have the conversation?
Really, yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Wow. The whole like watercolor aesthetic of Gwen's world, like every second of it was amazing.
Yeah.
Agreed. And like Rio and what's his name? Aaron Davis or Aaron Morales? Not Aaron Davis. Is that his name? His dad's name? Jefferson.
Jefferson. Yeah, Jeff.
Aaron's the uncle. Yeah. Aaron's so he goes by he took his wife's last name in this one, which is fine. Apparently in the comics they have a difficult relationship with your father, and that checks out. That makes sense. I thought they were great. I did feel the part one effect happening. I think when Rio's talking to Miles about how he needs to go away and protect that little guy inside. I'm like, this is a good speech, but you don't have a speech that's this long unless you're part one of part two.
Yeah.
There was no cutting off of anything in that speech. That was a long speech about looking after yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I thought it was cool. I thought, what's his name? Miguel was like a great character / villain type person at the beginning. I thought, is he going to eat a man?
Yeah.
And I still really never came to a good conclusion on that. I'm like, is he a vampire?
I think he is. I think he's like Spider-Man meets Blade.
He is very pointy for a Spider-Man.
And he injected himself with something.
Yeah, he has to inject himself with a synthetic spider solution because he doesn't. And he does, like, for example, he also doesn't stick, right? He has to claw.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he had to claw. He didn't stick.
So he does have different spider powers than the rest of them. But I thought he was a great, like, sub-boss / other villain. And I actually, like, the spot fake-out where he comes in, like, they set up him being, quote-unquote, the villain of the week very well.
Yep.
Right? I totally bought into that. Like, he's just this temporary guy on the thing. And then when he stuck around, and then you get that sinking feeling, like, oh, no, and this guy's more... And especially when he goes away saying he kicked his own ass.
Yeah.
Very funny. Like, this is a really funny...
Yeah, he kind of has a silly... Realize,
oh, wait, no.
Yeah, he has a silly setup, and then when you like, you know, just sort of like, okay, let's take his powers to the logical extreme, and oh, my God, he's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he was an amusing fight for Spider-Man, but at the same time, it's like, but Spider-Man can't beat him.
Yeah.
Like that was another a key part of it. Like he wasn't defeated. He like took himself out of the equation, but he still hasn't been beaten and he's only gotten stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was I also cool. enjoyed that there wasn't a kingpin the size of like Mount Rushmore on this. I just thought, we're talking about designs. I never liked the kingpin design from the first Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you there. That was just kind of silly.
I will say, I think I like the design, like the visual design of this one less overall. I'm a little bit with Adam where it's like sometimes it's actually just like it's too much. Like I know, you know, they're like pushing sort of what you can, you know, do with the animation and doing all this like really cool stylistic stuff, which is great. I think they went too far in a few places. Spider-Punk at certain times is just like I can't even tell what he's doing. Like it's when you see a still, it's like that's really cool, but in motion it's like I don't even know what he's supposed to be doing right now. The big like chase sequence when Miles is trying to escape the like Spider-Verse central kind of thing felt to me just very like messy. There wasn't really any kind of like through line. It was just like nonstop visual gags just sort of splatted against the wall. And it's like, oh, this would be cool. And this would be cool. And this would be cool. And they all are individually, but like one after another like that, just it felt sloppy after a while that like nothing in the first movie ever felt sloppy.
No, it was very tight.
Like the first one, which I went back and watched after. Yeah, it's very tight. Like that is a smooth, elegant, like lean, mean movie machine. This is like, you know, a teenager just like tossing every cool feature you could possibly ever have in a sports car. And like individually, they're all sick, but together they just kind of don't ever really mesh. And like overall, it still works, but it's just a little bit like jagged and bumpy along the way.
I'm gonna say something.
Oh, go for it.
Well, I can finish your thought. It's not so important that I need to interrupt you. I just thought you were done.
Oh, no. And I will say, I think that also sort of, it's not a visual thing, but I felt the same way about just the overall sort of like character arcs and overarching themes in the movie. Like, everything has a satisfying setup and payoff in the first movie. And this movie, I didn't really feel the connection. There, like, the way that, like, the villain and Miles and the story and the themes of sort of taking on responsibility and that sort of stuff that exist in the first one all work so well together. And there's individual things like this in this movie, but they don't, I find, all work together. And so it just sort of gave the movie an overall feeling of just sort of like messiness. Like, it's a very cool splat on the wall.
But it's a splat on the
wall. Where the first one was like a very finely crafted piece of art. Really cool, really fun, really funny splat on the wall. But it's not the like finely crafted piece that the first one was.
Okay. Adam?
You actually had me hit on something that I think sort of encapsulates a big problem I have with this movie, is that there's no actual character growth. Like, anybody. Like, Miles says he has it. He has that big speech with his mom at the end where he's like, I'm my own man and I'm going to do my own thing. But like, no, you're just a petulant child. And you were a petulant child before. In fact, you've gotten less mature as the movie has gone on. And like, the scene with Gwen and her dad it's very touching, but there's no growth there. Like, neither of them have changed. It's just they've sort of gotten better at communicating with each other about what's going on. But there's like, nobody is anywhere different when they started this movie as where they are at the end.
Well, so they're doing, like, there's two ways to do a character arc, right? And then one of the ways, the traditional ways, the character changes. And the other one is the character is just so fucking awesome that the world changes around them. And that can work. Some of my favorite movies of all time have that type of character arc. Relatively recently, and by that I mean like probably at least a year ago, we rewatched Forrest Gump. And Forrest Gump turns out is a really fucking phenomenal movie. And that's a case of like the world changes around them. I think that's the arc that they have Miles on, where it's like Miles isn't changing. He's the one who gets it, that it's not acceptable to not save both. But the world needs to change around him. But they've set up, we discussed ad nauseum earlier, they've set up the canon event thing as being necessary too well, where it feels disingenuous for that to be his arc, right? That seems to be where he believes he is, that I can do both, and the world is the one that needs to change. And something about that, I agree, doesn't quite vibe. And what I was going to say earlier, but Adam, yeah, I wanted to let you get in with that, is, and please, people out there, don't give me hate online for saying this. What you were talking about, Matt, I completely agree with everything you said, and it reminds me to a lesser extent of our complaints with Thor Love and Thunder, where the first one was different and weird and original, and because of that, it was risky and so tight. They had to make really sure that everything was to a razor point. It was super focused on what it wanted to do. And the second one, they're like, oh, you like that? You like some of that? Okay, we're going to do way more of that. And again, I think in Thor Love and Thunder, it's like maybe a very charitable viewing of Thor Love and Thunder would be that it works 50% of the time and the other 50% it doesn't. And this one, I think it easily works 70-80% of the time. But it doesn't work like at least 20% of the time. I agree, where it just feels a little bit bloated, a little bit too big. And to go back to the original thought that moved us in here, I don't think it's a great part one. It's almost two part one. It's not a complete enough movie.
Yeah.
Right? It's more like Harry Potter Deathly Hallows part one, where it's just like, this is clearly just set up, than it would be about Dune or Infinity War or, again, relatively recently, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, which, again, I know I already talked about it, but very creative villain in that movie. I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen, but it's like, it's the villain's I will spoil it because it happens in the first 30 seconds. The villain's an AI, but and I when I saw that, I was like, I've seen AI villains before.
Yeah.
Not like this, you haven't. They found new and inventive ways for an AI to be very scary. So it's legitimately a really good movie, Mission Impossible. But anyway, I think we're all in agreement on this. It's a fine movie, but it's bogged down by its part one-itude and its lack of focus.
Yeah, I still loved it overall, but there's just, you know, it's not like elegant like the first one was. And I think there's definitely parts where you can feel like, you know, in the first one, they did all this like really cool like animation work that they rightfully got praised for. And that was sort of, you know, the identity of the movie in a lot of ways. And so it's like, all right, well, we got to do more. And it's like, okay. I mean, I would come to the same conclusion, I'm sure. But there's just a few times where it feels like, you know, Spider-Punk comes up. The Vulture at the beginning, although that one I think actually worked very well. But just examples of things where it's like, okay, what is a cool animation thing we could do? Not what is the story, what are the characters, and then, hey, you know, here's a, like a neat animation thing that would like play into what's happening in the story. It was just sort of like, that would be cool, let's do that. But then it, yeah, and, with Spider-Punk in particular, it feels like they went very far in that example, but then everyone around him is more or less a fairly normal version of Spider-Man. So it's like, how is there in this grand Spider-Verse where you make, you know, you have a T-Rex, you have a horse, you have this insanely animated guy, everyone else sort of looks a bit like a generic Spider-Man. Like, it's very much variations on a theme. And then you just have like one or two things that go like way out into left field. And it's like, if there's one guy that's this crazy, why aren't there hundreds of guys that are this crazy? Like, it just sort of sticks out like a sore thumb as like, oh, we could do this one thing that would be neat. It's like, if you're going to do it, it should be everywhere. Not that I actually want to see that. It would be very hard to look at. But, you know, it just, it makes stick out.
And like, I'm sure you guys know this already, but if you didn't, so in Into the Spider-Verse, the way they made Miles different was when he's web swinging specifically, and I think in the rest of it too, he's animated on twos, which, as they say, so every other Spider-Man, when they're web swinging, it's very smooth because they have an animation for every single frame, right? 24 frames a second, so they're animated on 24 frames a second.
Yeah, it's got half
Miles
the frame
is animated on 12 frames a second. Yeah, so Spider-Punk is, I forget the exact, he's on threes for one of them, I'm pretty sure. It's his body, but his body and his limbs are actually animated on different ones. One's on threes, one's on fours. So he's really janky, and it didn't bother me as much as it's clearly bothering you guys, but boy, that's a choice.
Yeah.
That is a choice to be that different.
Yeah, and I think I actually liked him as a character. It was just, I think, visually too far where I couldn't follow what was happening with him at times.
Yeah.
It sort of
also
calmed down later
Miguel
into the movie, I found
in?
It. Yeah, who was just sort of like openly anarchistic to the whole thing.
Like, Mr. Law and Order over here is going to stand for that?
Yeah, that was a bit bizarre. I mean, it was cool. Yeah, he was a cool character, and I thought Daniel Kaluuya, who I didn't realize was the voice of him, I thought that he did a really great job. Like, the character is almost so abrasive up front, and because, like, you're inherently on Miles' side, and there's an implication that he and Gwen maybe are, like, romantically involved, which I'm pretty sure they're not, right? She just went there to take... Or they were in a band. That's why they were hanging out. Because they were in a band together, which is totally fine. And whether or not they did anything else, I think, is maybe up to interpretation. But when he shows up, you're just like, this is the other guy, huh? So you inherently don't want to like him.
Yeah.
And then Daniel Kaluuya is so fucking charismatic that you're like, God damn it. You are good.
Oh my God. That was
anyway.
One of the... I mean, we have to move on. But one of my favorite moments in the whole freaking movie is in the when they're in the Indian one and the... I've forgotten, I can't pronounce his name, but the Indian Spider-Man is just obsessed with the will they, won't they tension for the whole swing. And I'm like, oh my God, yes, that's wonderful. Like, there were so many
he
little moments where I'm like, this is brilliant. And then just, ugh. Anyway. But we have to move
on. I mean, we got to see where part two goes. But again, I think we're all on the same page that the biggest problem with the movie is philosophical. And for me, it was particularly jarring. So when you guys eventually watch The Flash, I wonder if that'll hit you too, or maybe just because I primed you. But it was so weird going back to back from one movie that was like, what do? We could save everybody, to another movie was like, you absolutely cannot save everybody. Yeah. And yet I don't see people talk about this online, maybe because like no one watched The Flash. But
sounds like you have a new career as a video essayist.
Fuck, I wish. Yeah, I wish. Anyway, okay, so let's move on because it's been about an hour. Adam, I know you got a new segment. I've got the Pokemon of the week trivia that I did last week. So maybe we'll do your new segment first as a test.
Okay.
And then we'll hit us with the Pokemon trivia.
Okay, so this is, it's very similar to the trivia, only it's not Pokemon specific. It's all of all of gaming, and if we want to branch out to other stuff, I can do that. But the concept is that I am going to describe to you a situation, and then you have to sort of talk your way to the explanation of it. And the point of this is not, is that different to the trivia, it's not Matt and me talking amongst ourselves and sort of working our way there. It's like 20 questions. You're supposed to ask questions to get more information. Because the okay. description is deliberately vague. So it should be better for radio. We'll see. But I have okay. two. I have a warm-up one, and then I have a more challenging one. So here's the warm-up right. one.
Let's do it.
Yeah, hit us with the warm-up.
Twilight Princess was released on the Wii and the GameCube simultaneously. If you play both, you will notice that the Wii version is a mirrored version of the GameCube.
Oh, it's easy.
Why?
Oh, because Link's left-handed and they wanted the Wiimote to be in the right hand.
Oh, mm-hmm. there you go. Exactly. So you already knew that one. So,
so the idea is that we didn't know and we would have to talk ourselves into why?
Yes, that's the idea. All it's right. not that I expect you to know the trivia immediately, but in that case, of course, you did.
You thought you could sneak one past the trivia master after I've been giving you guys trivia for years?
You think I didn't complain about Link's handedness while he was fishing?
Exactly.
I mean, I went out. I deliberately went out and looked for what I thought would be pretty easy, but I guess that was too easy.
Yep.
Okay.
That was pretty easy.
All right. I'll give you another one, I guess. I'll have to come up with something harder for next time. Okay. So the next one is about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Okay. Now I'm a little nervous.
In Smash Ultimate, as you know, players can summon assist trophies for a little boost in a fight. Which specific mm-hmm. assist trophy cannot be summoned if the stage is Wii Fit Studio?
Oh, man.
Huh. Okay.
God, I truly have no idea about this one.
So
Wii Fit Studio.
I guess somewhere along the way it might be helpful to figure out why any given character would be unsummonable dependent on the map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is not the principle of it, but my stab off the top of my head would be that something about Wii Fit Studio is a weird map where it can't move because like the edges are more set, so it couldn't have the Nintendogs. Because Nintendog is the weirdest one, right? Where it like moves the map.
I don't think right? they actually move. They just cover the screen.
Oh, no. No, it's one of the guys from Animal Crossing. He's the one who moves the map.
Okay, that is not it. But that's an interesting thought.
Okay.
Is it something to do with that the map itself maybe features a character who's also an assist trophy?
That was actually, when I first heard this one, that was my first thought. That is not the case.
Okay.
Because my first thought was like, oh, it can't be Wii Trainer. But no, of course it can be, because Wii Trainer is a playable character. This is
a playable character, yeah.
Trophy.
That's where my brain went to first, too. But.
Yeah. Yeah, specifically an assist trophy.
Hmm. Would it be cheating to look up a list of the assist trophies in the game?
I mean, you can. I don't think that will break it, because I don't think you'll immediately look at the list and go, "Oh, that's who it is."
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think that will do it, because the hint I will give you up front is that even if you don't look at the list, you will, if you figure out the why that the character can't be summoned there, the who will become obvious.
Okay.
Okay,
if I'm remembering correctly, is there no way to fall off the stage? Like, is there a floor across the full length of the stage? I think. Trying to remember what it looks like.
That's
now.
What I'm remembering too. Yeah.
I'm gonna
so you can get like thrown out the sides, but you can't just like fall off and go out the bottom. Would that have anything to do with it?
That does not have anything to do with it.
Okay.
You are correct. As far as I can see from the screenshots, it does look like there's a floor.
So there. I can safely Google the Wii Fit
Yes, you can safely Google the image of the Wii Fit stage if that will help you.
Okay. Is it anything to do with the aesthetics of the stage, like the colors things like that?
Yep. Okay. There's something about the way the state that is unique to this stage that precludes one character from showing up.
So there's a giant mirror on the back.
Yes, there is.
Oh.
So is there a vampire assist trophy?
Yes, there is.
Is that even be?
Oh, yes. I could. Is it a vampire from Kirby, I want to say?
Nope. You know who it is. You know the name. 100% you know.
Oh, wait. Is it just Dracula from Castlevania?
Right.
Okay.
Or Alucard.
There you go. That's it. Yeah. Alucard. That's exactly it. Yes. So Alucard is an assist trophy, but you're not allowed to summon him in Wii Fit Studio because there's a mirror.
Wow. Oh, I mean, very cool. Think they could just remove the reflection, but that's a creative idea.
Yeah. So that is, I mean, you got both, well, you got the first one immediately. I do have one more as a backup if you want to do one more.
All right, fuck it, sure.
All right.
Let's do it.
So, the FIFA video game series of soccer games has been going on since, in some format, since 1993. Mm. It took until 2011, or rather, it took until FIFA 11, which was probably released in 2010. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
For a key feature to be added to the game that most people probably assumed had been in since the beginning. What was it?
Based off what our hockey still doesn't have, was it net physics that when the ball is kicked into the net moves?
It was not net physics.
This can hardly be called a feature, but it is something I noticed when I was looking at the covers a while ago. Is it that it had a single athlete on the cover?
No.
Okay, my actual guess is replay?
Nope.
Okay. I think I had FIFA 2004 and then didn't play another one until 2014. A lot changed between those.
Yeah, big gap.
Back in the days when 10 years is actually a noticeable difference.
Fuck.
Ouch. I just felt that in my old soul. Because we just watched a movie this afternoon called The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And it's like, oh, mm-hmm. Man, that's a pretty recent movie. It came out in 2015. Oh, wait, no, that's almost 10 years ago.
Yep.
Oh, was it that you could play the World Cup?
No, but you are now getting closer.
Okay, because I remember they used to have separate like FIFA World Cup games. Like, I remember one of my cousins had the, like, 2002 Korea-Japan World Cup game.
Yeah, okay.
Was it the Champions League?
That's closer. Yeah, champ.
Nope.
One of those special tournaments?
No.
Okay. The FA Cup or something?
It's not a specific game mode, but you're in the right vicinity otherwise.
Okay. Something with, like, player likenesses?
Nope.
Okay.
Was something that we thought should be officially licensed wasn't, like they didn't have the official license team for like the international teams?
No, nothing like that. Although that's quite creative, but no.
Okay, so the World Cup being playable was in the right direction.
From relative to where you were before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It is an aspect. It is a thing in the game that you could do in FIFA 11 that previously you had not been able to do.
Was it create teams and or players? Okay.
I will give you the hint that you are almost certainly overthinking it, because everything you have described is a more complex thing than this thing.
Huh. Okay.
Like this, take it back to, in the interest of not spending 15 minutes here, take it back to absolute basics of what you'd expect to be able to do in a FIFA game. One of those things you couldn't do for almost 20 years.
Is it local multiplayer?
No.
Okay.
Oh, that would be crazy. Like be a pro?
Nope.
That was pretty new across the board around then.
Yeah.
Just a basic thing you expect to do. Is it okay? Is it specifically related? Like, is it a soccer specific thing?
Yes and no. It is the. It would apply to other sports, but it is the, yeah, it is related to soccer.
Okay. Is it substitute players?
Nope. You're getting a little warmer now.
Okay, is it a, like, is it something to do, like, within gameplay? Like, you're actually, like, playing a game?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, inside of the game?
Inside of the game.
Okay.
Okay.
Change players?
Nope, but you're getting real warm now.
Oh.
Player lock?
Oh, you're getting even warmer.
I might actually know. Is it choose which player you switch to? Because I maybe remembering back to 2004, you had to cycle through your entire team in order of changing players.
Oh my God, you're painfully close now.
Ugh.
You're right there.
And yet, is it change players without the ball? I don't know.
It's not you had to manually change to the player who has the ball, is it?
No, that's not it. No.
Okay.
It's not specifically about changing players, but you guys are absolutely in the right domain now.
Okay.
Hmm.
Huh.
See, you think that's helpful, Adam, but it's actually painful because we exhausted our guesses, and you're just like, you're like right there. We're like, that's it.
Yeah,
there's
no, okay.
There's no.
Like, I don't know where else to go.
I'm trying to think of another hint I can give you. Okay.
I think at this point, just tell us this if I'm going to, because I've got the Pokemon trivia too. We already got two of them.
All right. So I'll give you one hint, and if you don't get it, I'll just tell you. It is, okay. There is a, think about when you're playing a game of FIFA, there is a specific. You know what? No, I'm just going to tell you. Forget it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good call.
You couldn't play, until FIFA 11, you could not play as the goalkeeper.
As a goalie.
Yep.
Oh.
Got it at the last second.
Yep.
No, okay. You're right. Couldn't play as the, was what I needed.
That's why I said you were really close with the change player thing. It's like, yeah, you couldn't
right,
be
yeah.
the goalie.
That's whack.
So there you go. So that's the lateral thinking gaming trivia for you.
Cool.
There you go. All right, Matt, I hope your brain isn't too hurt to do some Pokemon trivia.
My FIFA and my Pokemon brains are quite separate, so I think we're good.
Good, okay, then you should be fine. Which is good, because I really got to get going soon. So we got, you got a 10-minute timer, basically, on this. And we call these the Forgotten Nine. Okay, so there are nine Pokemon to have, let me just make sure I get the exact post right. Only nine Pokemon in the entire series. And by the way, none of them are from the most recent generation, so don't worry.
Thank God.
But only nine Pokemon satisfy all these criteria.
Oh, do I have to write this down?
While you guys take stabs, yeah, I will. Maybe I'll write it into the chat.
Okay.
It's unfortunate this is a picture and not a post that I can't copy and paste from. You know what? I can do the drag copy. I can do the snip. The criteria are they have no evolution family, so single stage evolution only.
Okay.
This removed a couple of them from the most recent generation. They are not legendary, mythical, or Ultra Beast. Ultra Beast or Paradox.
Okay.
So not one of those weirdos.
Yep.
They have no alternate or regional form.
Okay.
They have no Mega Evolution, exclusive Z-move, Gigantamax, or Paradox form, as we discussed earlier. They have no signature move, ability, or item. They're not one of the Pikachu clones, like Plusle. They're not part of a pair, a la Illumise or Volbeat. And they have not received any stat buffs in between generations.
Oh my god, yeah, I'm going to need
that. For lack of a better term, they have been completely... I sent it in the chat.
Yeah, I was typing as we went.
They have been completely forgotten by the Pokemon Company.
Okay. So, they've never been touched after coming in... Yeah, basically that. They've never been touched. And they're just one
dude.
They were
entirely unremarkable the entire time. Yes, they are one Pokemon.
Okay. And there are nine, you said.
There are nine. And there are only nine. There were 11. Two of them got a stat buff in between the generations and generation nine.
Okay. In the interest of speeding this up, how many are Gen 1?
Zero.
None. Okay.
All right.
The earliest is Generation 2.
Okay, so there's some in Gen 2. No signature move. Wow. I have a feeling we're going to need hints. This is...
This one's so tough.
This is a doozy.
I'm trying to think of a way to get you to hint. I mean, okay, so one of them... I'll have to, like, get you to hints slowly. So one of them came in Generation 5... And if Generation 5 wasn't a soft reboot, it surely would have been an evolution on a Generation 3 Pokemon. It's one. I mean, there are a few times where you look at a Pokemon like the two bulls, and you're just like, they should be related, and they're not.
Yeah.
Neither of the bulls are on this list. But one of them is truly infuriating that it doesn't evolve from something that came out in Generation 3. One of the most visually similar Pokemon that they've ever released.
Ooh. Okay.
Came out in Gen 5.
Okay.
Came out in Gen 5, and everyone was like, that should evolve from X in Gen 3.
Yes, and it is one of... I'll give you even more hints.
My initial guess is Bufalant to Tauros, but that's not the...
You just said the bulls.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Not the bulls. It's one of two water Pokemon on this list. I think two. There might even be three.
Pure water, or so you're just saying there's a water type involved?
Water type involved.
Okay.
I gotta look up one of the Pokemon to find out if it's a water type too, because these guys are so obscure that I don't even know them that well.
Gen 5.
Five one-offs.
Okay, Gen 5 is black and white, which is that...
Okay, this is not the one that's related to the one in Gen 3, but for Gen 5 things, Dredigan?
Dredigan is one of them.
Well done.
Dredigan is on the list. Well done.
Okay.
All right.
One of them, I'll give you a hint, Matt, is rumored constantly to be in Pokemon Unite, but we haven't seen it.
Rumored constantly.
This is a toughie.
I'm like really struggling to think of Gen 5 water types now.
This thing's fucking electric? Are you shitting me?
Is it the same one?
A different type of Pokemon. No.
Okay.
No. There's a Gen 3 Pokemon that's been rumored to be in Pokemon Unite for a while. But that's not the one that I was talking about.
Okay.
Okay.
So the Pokemon that I was talking about in Gen 3, there's a Gen 3 introduced a mechanic to remember Pokemon moves, and for that you need to get a specific
Heart
item.
Alomomola.
Love Disc.
There you go.
Yes, it's Alomomola.
Yeah, so Alomomola. So Love Disc is not the problem. Right. Love Disc has one of these things on it.
Yeah.
But Alomomola frustratingly does not evolve from love disc.
Yep.
And is one. Okay. Of them. So that's got one. Two.
Woo. Or got yeah, we got two. Matt got one. I got that one.
Yes.
Okay.
There are three grass types remaining on the list on the board. Also, three flying types, maybe or may or may not be related. One, again,
Tropius?
Shocking electric type. Tropius, is it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tropius has nothing. The man who has nothing.
Okay, we got.
Even though it's a pretty cool Pokemon.
I'm writing this down.
And that's why it would be cool to be in Pokemon Unite.
Drudagon, Tropius, and Alamomola.
Yes. Okay. So, now you've got two flying types remaining, two grass types, an electric type, and a water type, in addition to may or may not have dual typings. I'm trying to get you more. I mean, one of these Pokemon, and I'll even give you more of a hint, both the flying types, I would say, haven't been forgotten by me because I quite like them and I use them repeatedly, but one of them in particular was really quite a popular Pokemon until Gen 8.
Skarmory?
When it got strictly out... Yeah, Skarmory. When it got strictly outclassed by a new Pokemon. Yeah.
Yep.
Skarmory.
Okay. Got. All right. We got four. We're doing well.
You're cooking along.
Yeah.
So another, the other flying type, the last remaining flying type, is not a unique ability, but it is a unpopular ability. So the fact that it has it, it's one of the few Pokemon that has it, is its niche.
Okay.
And it's a flying?
So it's flying type.
It's a flying type.
No evolution.
One of the weirdest looking flying types in the entire series.
Is it Sigilyph?
That's Sing.
It is Sigilyph.
Oh, well done. Yes.
Hey.
I love Sigilyph. I'm ashamed I didn't think of that.
You're over halfway there. So you still are missing two of the most forgettable grass types you've ever seen.
There's so many.
An electric type that should not be an electric type. And a Pokemon who, a water type that looks very satisfied being forgotten.
Okay.
In fact, another hint I'll give you, I'll just give you constant hints, is I think both these grass types are popular in desert areas. And at least one of them was in Arceus and fucked me up a lot.
Cacturne evolves.
Cacturne? Oh, that was my guess too.
Yeah, Cacturne evolves from
Arceus. Maractus?
Maractus.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Well done.
Yeah.
Really looked like it should have evolutions.
Yeah.
Seems like it very naturally would have, but.
Nope.
Okay. I would agree. I would say the same thing for the other grass type. I think it's rather unique in that it has a levitate, which is not a common ability.
A grass type with levitate.
It's got to be some sort of berry or spore type thing, I would
guess. Grass type with levitate that comes to my mind is Rotom Moe, but of course that doesn't count.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I immediately thought of Charon, so that's as strong a clue as I could possibly give you.
Okay. Grass type with levitate.
No.
Okay.
No,
so what? It has to have a dual type because they only give levitate to Pokemon that couldn't take flying.
Absolutely not, Adam. It does not have a dual type.
Really? It's pure grass with levitate.
Pure grass with levitate.
Pure grass with levitate. I know his name. It's Carnivine.
Carnivine.
Oh.
Yep.
Thank you for that hint. Sometimes there it pays
so
to
now
be
now
wrong.
You've cleaned off. So now you've cleared off both the board. You have a dual type water Pokemon here. And a single-type electric that, as we recall, astonished me that it was electric because I had completely forgot that this Pokemon exists.
Okay, here's my question. What type did you think it was?
Water. Or poison.
Oh, is it? Nope, that guy evolves. Never mind.
Is it? I mean, it's in the name, so it wouldn't be that big of a shock for electric, but Electros?
No.
Okay.
See, that was my thought, too, but he evolves. That's an evolution line.
The picture doesn't show the names of the Pokemon, so I've been Googling them to figure out what they were. And this one I thought was Pukumuku. But Pukumuku is not this Pokemon.
Oh, it's the other one.
No,
it's the spine Pincurchin.
Pincurchin, yeah.
That's electric.
Yep.
It's electric.
News to me.
I used it on my electric team.
For some reason. It's also 50.2% male and 49.8% female. Why?
Yeah. All right, so there's only one left, and it's a water type?
It's a dual type water type, and my clue for you is happy to be forgotten.
Happy to be forgotten.
And I'll give a clue specifically to Adam, because I don't want to give you guys... Well, actually, we're running out of time. You did well, cooking along those pretty good. But this was a Pokemon that also has, it came around at the same time as a Digimon. Oh. And they are both based on the same fish. And so I remember being like an 8-year-old being like, what the fuck is that? And Adam had to explain this fish.
Is it this, I don't remember its name, but is it the like super fucking ugly stupid thing with pointy teeth from Alola? Nope. Really brightly colored?
Not. Mercifully, it is not.
Is it Stunfisk? I mean,
that thing doesn't want to be forgotten, right? It's not Stunfisk.
Oh, no, he's not water. He just looks like a fish.
And he has a form.
Oh, you're right. He has a form. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yes, you're right. Okay, so Pokemon based on the same, Digimon Turtonator? Based on a fish.
Nope.
Shoot.
He's Fire Dragon anyway. See, when you said that, the Digimon that I went to is Coelemon.
Coelemon?
Because they're based, he's based in a kind of weird fish.
Yes, Adam, that's the correct Digimon.
Oh, shit. Okay, who's the Pokemon?
So the Pokemon, it's a fish. It's not like a...
So if you look up Coelemon, find the fish that Coelemon is based on, and then what is the Pokemon based on the same fish? And then you'll have the answer.
Oh, Relicanth?
Relicanth, oh, yes! As I said, or Relicanth. There's no N in there, apparently.
Yeah,
yes. I also thought, when I typed it into Google, I typed in Relicanth for what it's worth. So that's a thing that we share.
Yeah.
But yes, that's what I meant. Probably happy to be forgotten.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. When you said there's no N, I was like, wait, it's Relic Calf?
Yeah, sorry, there's one N. Yeah,
yeah, there's one N. Yeah, it's like the fossil Pokemon.
Also, for
that
some reason,
fossil.
87.5% male, 12.5%. Why? Why?
Every once in a while, it makes sense. Most of the time, it's just like, you're just being mean to breeders at this point.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. But more importantly, good on you guys for getting all 9. And good on Adam for getting maybe the most obscure clue I've ever given in my entire life.
And immediately, like, no wrong guesses. I got it the first one.
Yeah, you didn't get it wrong. It's pretty impressive. Okay, well, good job, everybody. So we'll see if Pokemon Trivia makes a return or if it takes a hiatus when we move to just general gaming trivia and we alternate whoever finds the trivia or something like that. That's what I thought might be fun.
Okay,
we
can do that.
Because I like taking guesses, too.
Yeah.
But I think great job, everybody. I got an hour to get to a comedy show. It's about 25 minutes away, so I'm going to head over there because I was absolutely disturbed to find out from our friend Ryan that the seats are not assigned. Who, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ 2023, is buying just a free seat?
A floor seat,
I would never. I told him that. I was like, oh, that might have made me reconsider. I think he was shocked. I'm like, fuck no. Even movie theaters, which used to be like... the bastions of free seats. You got to get there an hour before the movie. Yeah. You have moved to assigned seats. This is, we're not set. This is what separates us from the animals. Assigned seats. I will die on this hill.
And nothing else.
Anyway, yes, that's the main, there's other stuff too, but that's the big one. Anyway, speaking of the big one, I'm sure we'll be talking about more movies. Like, oh, next time we talk, I'll be talking about Barbenheimer, whether or not you guys... Maybe you guys should each see one of them or something.
Well, I'm planning on doing both. I might copy your plan, honestly, because it sounds fantastic.
Excellent. Yeah, dress up. Dress up is an important part of it. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, in that case, everyone out there, have a great week. Have a safe week, and we will see you next time.